We can all, I know you're not. You're probably good at some of these. But focus on where you're weak. Get support and encouragement where you need help in that. So the clarification of the primary goal, if we're talking about vertical goals, just a way to review here. We're bringing up in the Lord and of the Lord. But here's the clarification. Train to what? Obey the word of God, motivated by a heart for the God of the word. Again, the first thing you can sort of do, you can teach them to not lie because you're going to bring consistent consequences into their lives. But the second thing you can't do without the Lord, and that's give them a heart for God. As we sang today, we were graves. We're dead in our sin. But God made us alive. And so we want to think about how God makes us alive. And this is, we talked about last week, this idea that we go from teaching them how to obey rules to how actually honor their parents, to honor God. We go from just being the police in their life to being the Supreme Court, right, where we just weigh in as needed in areas. So the same thing with habits and heart. If you think we're going to have behavioral habit change, you know, learning how to obey the word of God, not to lie, not to steal, all those things. But going from focus on the habit development to actually a heart for God. That's conversations with them, right? That's not just giving them a list of rules. If God only comes up when they're in trouble, that's not a good thing for the heart to develop God, you know, of desire for God. Or if you only get involved seriously when they're in trouble, you're reactive parenting, right? It's going to be this preventative day-to-day. We got to work at that. And if you're like me, you are get distracted and you get busy and you pray. You build it on prayer and you refocus and you talk to people about how can I do this better? There have been many talks that I've had with people. How can I do this? And so the man after God's own heart, though, has a desire to parent his children to have a heart for God. As for you, my son Solomon, know God, serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind. And that's the foundation of these goals we have. For everything a parent does, in my opinion, is wrapped up in verses like that. Everything I do, I'm thinking the long-term view. What would be success for me as a parent, right? What would be success for David as a parent to Solomon? That you would serve him with a whole heart. What does that mean? What does it mean to have a whole heart for God? We're going to talk about that because we're going to focus on that just in about 5 minutes. But reviewing, what does it mean to bring them up to obey the word? Here's what we talked of last week. Trained to obey the word of God. Everyone who partakes of milk only is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he's a baby. But solid food is for the mature because of practice have their senses trained to distinguish good and evil. So there's a training that goes on and a retraining in their life and redoing. Like, what was it? The other night, one of our children came to us. We only have two now, so if I can say the other, you can, which one is it? You kind of know. It used to be four and be like, oh, yeah, we don't know who that is. But I had been watching they had been watching something. It was Friday night, and they had watched. You ever see those YouTube videos where there's jokes? Like people play these jokes. There's funny videos. And so this one video had a dog in it, and there was a word said that wasn't a terrible word, but it was kind of concerning to me. And so I brought it up. I said, Timmy, I'm not sure we should watch this. And then later on, okay, I'm just going to tell you, Mimi came up to me and said, Dad, you've got to not be so aggressive about all these things. You need to, you know, back off a little bit. And Erin was there, and she said, honey, you shouldn't talk to your dad that way. It wasn't terrible over the top, but it was this sense of, she's scolding me a bit for being oversensitive to something that probably wasn't that big. I agreed with her. And so what do, honey? Restate that in a way that is respectful. Retrain, right? Redo this. Sometimes we forget these obvious little things that we have charge of and we need to help them do it right. She said, I don't know how. Okay, let me tell you how. So I demonstrated. Dad, I'm thankful that you're trying to watch over me. Can you start there? And I want to just tell you, I don't think it was that big of a deal. Right? That's respectful. Then we can talk. Let's talk. We don't have to react, you know, emotionally. But your response as a parent is to get them accustomed, their senses trained to be respectful in their talk, right? You have to have them redo it as part of the challenge. And I've said that when you have a consequence, make sure that it's not just a doghouse consequence where they learn nothing, they're in solitary confinement, but where they're actually redoing maybe what they messed up. If you weren't kind to your child or your sibling, play a game with them and show me that you can be kind to them. Show God that you can be kind with them, because that's primary relationship right there, you know? Rebecca, when she was 3 years old, she had a cousin in, Cameron, and she and Cameron were squabbling over something. I don't know what it was. We went to the neighborhood pool, and on the way they were doing that, and I said, honey, you're going to, I want you two to walk around the pool holding hands. That's a training consequence, right? So they walked around the pool holding hands. And they were really not wanting to do it, obviously. But the time they came back around, they sat there and were talking, and they wanted to go again, so they went around again holding hands. Training, right? How you set it up, how you gently talk about it with God there. You know, you got to stop this. I'm so sick of it. You know, that doesn't do anything. I'm going to enforce this gently. I am the parent. See the muscle? I'm bigger than you. I can do this. I'm going to make you do this. But I want to use my words to help you get there. Oh, man, I'll tell you. The times I had to have Isaac sit in my lap and just learn to be relational, it was very hard. Remember that? He just did not want to sit in the lap. But then I would make these milkshakes that really weren't milk. It was rice cream with cashew butter and stuff in it. Anyway, but he loved it. He didn't know the difference at that age. And then he would sit in my lap willingly because I had a milk. And then I would have him sit there and just, you know, learn how to be relational. You just want to be doing everything. Come on, let's talk. And I think those retrainings, they got to get accustomed to this, right? Train early, rest later, because they get bigger than you, they get smarter than you, and it's hard to change it then, right? Very hard to change habits once they're there. You can do it, but we got to get serious, and we got to pray to help that happen. So this is a key passage in helping train to obey. That's the first half of the parenting goal, train to obey the Word of God. Here's some of the... You have these, by the way, on page 2 on the bottom. Here's 8 traits. And I have an elaborate chart that has verses for each of these so my children can look at them and we can talk about them when they need them. But, you know, the laziness, if you look at the right side, these are the problems that you're trying to change. Laziness, it's natural. Hardworking, diligent is sometimes difficult, you know. Person of conflict. It's natural to be in conflict. It's hard to be a peacemaker and humble. Complainer. Yeah. Versus thankful. Argumentative versus submissive and respectful. Angry versus patient and sympathetic. Disrespectful versus respectful and honoring. Disobedient versus obedient. And integrity versus lying, or honesty versus lying. So there's a bunch of scriptures that we would use with those, and we're going to get into those in a few weeks. I've got my top 10. You may have your top 10. I think we ought to put ours together and get about a top 700, you know. But what are the verses that I help my child hear again and again, that they get accustomed, therefore, to hearing it, which then is part halfway to doing it, right? How does the Word connect to this? I've told you this one. My repetition is to help you remember it. Matthew 25, verses 21. If any of you can tell me what that says or what I use that for, you would get something special from Pastor Joel. I'm sure he likes to give out money and stuff, candy, so they give you stuff today. Can anyone tell me what I use that for? You may have something else, but this is for helping a child learn to work hard. I'm giving you hints because there's something in there about how God will reward faithfulness. I want them to hear that, to get accustomed to hearing that when they're doing the dishwasher. You know, even when they're, yesterday we're swinging the bat with Timmy and playing. I'm taking him out 1 hour a weekend and I throw him the ball. I teach him how to. Remember that baseball he was going to go out? He didn't do it. He didn't go out. I convinced him, let's just wait a year. Let's get you better. But here's the verse. Well done. Right? You can finish it. You as a parent, you need to have some of these ready. Not to hit them over the head, but to nourish them with it. And the best way I can nourish, I find, is if I just explain to them I struggle too. Instead of sitting there saying, you just mess around with that, you're a mess. Yeah, we all are. But if I say to them, honey, faithful, a well done, good and faithful servant, if you're faithful with a few things, you know what will happen? God will make you ruler over much. In fact, another verse says, if you're faithful with a few things, you will be able to be faithful with much. I want God to entrust you much for the good of other people. Because the more you're faithful, the more God will give you to help other people. And that's success. It's more blessed to give than to get. I want you to be in a position of giving like Jesus. But you can only do that if you're faithful. Now get in the batter's box and try. See, what it just all connects for me. I want it to be in integrity together. Instead of, I'm trying to teach him how to do. No, you're trying to teach him to respond to God. Because it's all about God, right? Everything is about God, all those six things. So these eight traits help us have somewhere in our home, at least, to go. And we have it printed out so that we can give them the sheet and say, honey, let's figure out a verse that you need to hear to get accustomed to hearing the Word of God. But then we have where we want to land here is a heart for the God of the Word. So a heart for the God of the Word, if you can think of what does it mean to have a heart for God, that's a question that we need to be asking. What does it mean to have a heart for God? There are things that the gospel gives you and does in your heart and your life. And I'm going to put this word down because I think it really helps. This concept down. I call it this. And if you remember this, I think it'll connect everything I'm saying here. Choice-changing affections. You remember how we talk about there being, if you put new wine into old wineskins, it bursts, right? So you have to have a whole new heart to really handle the development of being a Christian. God has to give you a new heart. And that new heart is we could call affections at the very center. Those affections cause you to make choices different. You all have them right now. But we're talking about choice-changing affections, changes that will help a child who's struggling with lying or struggling with laziness to have new affections that begin to grow. Right now, if you can think of it this way, you have fears, okay? You're sitting here, and your heart has fears. And some of them are proper, and some of them are idolatrous. Some of them are wrong. What are you afraid of most? That's the key. Whatever you're afraid of most is your heart problem, if it's not God. If you're afraid of anything else more than God, you have a heart issue. And let's raise our hands. We all have a heart issue. I'm afraid my child will never become a good person, or I'm afraid my child will never be healthy. If that's your greatest fear, you're failing in being a parent after God's own heart. Not to say that too harshly, but just to say you need to be most afraid that you would disobey God in nurturing your child. The results are up to God. God, help me to be faithful. You know, I want to represent you well, right? What are you most afraid of? There's another fear, trust. Or there's another heart affection that I say is emphasized in the scripture, is trust. Trust. What do you trust in most? And sometimes I think of it maybe the best way for happiness or security. What do you trust in most and rely on most, right? These are heart-controlling affections that we want to change. Our child has things they fear most right now, right? Our child has things they trust in most to make them happy. And then lastly, a love. What do you most love? You know? Your child has these things going on in their heart all the time, and we do too, and this is our problem. This is our heart issue. And so when we think about what it means to have a heart for God, it means that they would most fear, most trust, most love God. Do you do that? No, so just accept you're going to fail at that. But do you most of the time lean this way and move this way and nurture this? That's the same thing then you'll be able to give to your child. If that's going on in you, when you're going to struggle, you're going to be able to teach them, hey, honey, on your level, you're struggling with this right now like I do. Can we talk about how God is bigger than what you fear, how God is more reliable than what you're hoping for happiness in your life? I did this even when they were young. Mimi and Rebecca had the satin pillow, and you maybe heard me talk about this. These are just things that come. The satin pillow I bought at a garage sale. I don't know if you bought it or I bought it, or her mother always is buying stuff from garage sales, giving it to us. But anyways, not always, but this satin pillow was there, and Mimi got it. It was a beautiful pillow, and she was loving it. And Becca, in her four-year older intellect, figured out a way to get it from her. So she got it from her. And then Mimi was really angry. Now, why did she get angry? Because she was trusting in that pillow for what? Happiness. And she loved that pillow more than God. And that was easy to tell her, and she changed right now. She didn't. But as a man after trying to be after God's own heart, knowing how we change, I looked at that and I didn't think, oh, it just frustrates me that Becca took that from her. And it frustrates me that Mimi gets so angry. All right, get in here. I'm going to spank you guys. You're grounded. It's over. That's not it. I'm looking there saying, okay, we do have to do behavioral modification here. But what's going to motivate it? What do I really want them to know out of this experience? So I went to Mimi first, which probably Becca probably felt she was off, not going to get in trouble. I went to Mimi first, and I said, Mimi, who can make you happier, God or that pillow? And who gives pillows? Now, she was only maybe 5 or 6. What was I doing? I was getting her to hold back that sinful, easy-to-sin thing going on in her, right? I'm going to worship a pillow right now. That's what's going on. It's not any different than us. This is how I think. I put it through the grid, and I say, oh, those little hearts. I need to talk to the heart, and then we'll modify behavior out of that. I need to talk to that heart. I'm going to do consequences, whatever, but I've got to get God in the picture here and the issue going on in a simple way. Didn't go long, didn't preach long. I just looked at her, I said that. And here's what she did. Put her thumb in her mouth and turn. And I said, now let's pray. I could tell that she calmed down a little bit. She stopped, you know. And then I went to Becca and I said, Becca, you love that pillow a lot, but God wants you to be kind. Remember, gentle, quiet spirit is valuable to God. You're taking pillows from people. You're not going to be valuable to God. Ask the My Pillow guy. Just kidding. I didn't say that. But I'm reinforcing. I'm getting her accustomed to hearing it, right? You see what I'm saying? Now, I'm giving you the best pictures of me in parenting. Don't think that that's the full picture. That's why do you have to get an A in? If you're going to fail, which you are, you better what? Confess. So I have done a lot of that with my kids. Let's do a little theology study here, though, on these thoughts. That we're going to aim for, how does the Bible focus on fear as an essential affection to living for God? The right kind of fear. Trust. Because you're going to apply this to your parenting if you get this concept. So there on the top of page 3, you have a heart for God and the God of the Word, and it is to know God, And so if we were to understand, I'm just going to fly through these passages so you hear the breadth of how God's word focuses on the importance of knowing God if you're going to actually fear, trust, and love him, which is choice-changing affection for our kids. It says this, we will not conceal them, Psalm 78 says. What won't we conceal? We will tell the generations to come the praises of the Lord. Are our children hearing of God's praises, or are we concealing them, right? And then Deuteronomy 6, when your children come in time and say, what do these commands and testimonies mean? Why are they so important? You are to say to them, sit down, let me talk to you a minute about that. Not really, but here's what it sounds like. We were slaves. We were slaves. That's what they mean. But the Lord brought us out with a mighty hand. We were slaves to Pharaoh, to sin. We were going nowhere. We were graves. These testimonies are life to us, right? God brought us from Egypt into the land of promise with a mighty hand. That's what they're... Or do we just say, well, we just have to obey them? How about John 17:3? This is eternal life, Jesus says, that they would know you. This is eternal life. Is that guiding your heart as you parent your child? Philip said, show us the Father. And Jesus said, I've been along with you so long, and you've not yet come to know me? It's all about knowing him. And then here's the final, Matthew 11:27. Jesus would say, no one knows the Father except the Son and those whom the Son reveals him to. Are you praying that Jesus will reveal the Father to your children? Jesus makes a promise he can do it. The importance of knowing God for your child is the central thing. It's not a secondary thing. To know how to hit a baseball only as important as much as I help them learn to know God as they hit the baseball. I can do that. You can do that. Emptying a dishwasher, I want them to know God. If they're struggling, we were made to know God. The God of, in Ephesians 1:17, a great prayer for your children. We're talking about prayer. May the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you a spirit of revelation and knowledge. Give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowing him. Wisdom coming out of knowing him. He can give that to us. And wisdom is going to be proven true by what happens in 5 and 10 years and the choices you're making. If you trust and know this God, it will show up. So, here is... If you can see, all disobedience is connected to ignorance of God. If nothing else, just remember this one. Genesis 5:2. Put that one in your hat. That was Pharaoh. Moses coming to Pharaoh saying, let my people what? Let my people go. Obey God. Genesis 2. And what does it say? Genesis 5:2. I do not know this God. I will not let people go. If he knew that God. Exodus. Did I say Genesis? Yeah. Editors, you know, they mess things up. I've got Nancini as someone from China working for us now. It's a little pause for a minute. And she is Miss Detail. And I gave her, Jonathan helped with some editing on some stuff recently, and I gave it to her. And she said, I have gotten halfway through your book, and there are many verses aren't right. She said, you want me to finish? And I said, yeah, let's finish that. So some of the verses she's finding, where is this verse? So she had about 4 or 5. It's good to have that. She's helpful. Please correct me. That's Exodus 5:2. But I will not let the people go because I don't know God. So your children, when they're complaining because they don't know God, just like you. If they're lying, they don't know God. Like they need to know him, right? All sin is connected to ignorance of God. All sin, right? That has got to be clear in your mind that we can do and focus our thoughts on that. Isaiah 57:11 talks about how, who are you fearful of? when you didn't pay attention to me? Well, yeah, you're going to be very fearful when you don't pay attention to God. A heart for God is to fear God. So let me show you the breadth of scriptures about how important it is to fear God. Revelation 15:4. Who will not fear you, O Lord? For all the nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. That's Revelation. Why do people bow down in fear in the last day? Because the righteous acts of God have been now revealed. It goes on to say in Deuteronomy 6, your sons and daughters will fear the Lord and keep his statutes all the days of their life that it may be prolonged. And here it's calling us to give them that knowledge of God. Exodus 20:20 is my favorite, though. Moses said to the people after getting the Ten Commandments, after the earthquake and the fire and the trumpet blast, here's what Moses comes down saying, do not fear. It's like, oh, really? In a different way, don't fear that he's going to kill you. He said this, don't fear, for God has come in order to test you, that the fear of him might remain with you so that you will not sin. Put that in your heart and mind, guys. The fear of the Lord, he's come down so that the fear of him will remain with you, that you will not sin. I guarantee that if I am at the top of a building and down at the bottom is $1 million, I don't care how much I want that $1 million, I'm not going to jump because I'm afraid of dying. But yet, when we sin against a God who disciplines those he loves. And he scourges. So we're not to take lightly the discipline of the Lord. But we take lightly the discipline of the Lord every time we sin. When Jesus was tempted to sin, what did he say? Do not put the Lord your God to the test. He had perfect knowledge of his Father. He feared him like he ought. Isaiah 54:7. I am the one that creates light and darkness, causing well-being and calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. If you understood that God is the one that gives you every blessing and every calamity, does that change the way you respect him? Right? When you pass a cop on the road, what do you do?
Slow down.
Yes. Yes. It's a natural reflex. You have a choice-changing affection when you see a police officer. When you see God, it will change your choices. We can't make that happen, but we can be helpers in that. We can promote that, right? We can sow the seed in our heart, children's hearts and minds. Now, how about Psalm 128? How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Do you see the connection? Fears the Lord and walks in his ways. Remove fear of God, the choice-changing affection, and what happens? You don't walk in his what? His ways. And then you don't have the blessings of all that. I think Michael dismissed early, guys. Don't worry about this. My watch says I have 7 minutes. She says 5. Do I hear 8? All disobedience is connected to a lack of fearing God. All these verses, guys, Psalm 36:1, you know what that says? That the fear of the Lord is not there. I'm sorry, I've missed my notes. It's transgression speaks to the ungodly within his heart. Why does transgression speak in the heart of you and me? It says because there's no fear of God before his eyes. Psalm 36:1. Romans 3:10 ends with this long indictment against mankind and says there is no fear of the Lord in their eyes. They do not fear the Lord. So fear of God is important. What does that mean? That there's a consequence, right? You ever see those shirts, no fear? Maybe they're older, but they used to be out there, no fear. That's a fool, right? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God, right? And so there's no fear of God before their eyes. So these are important thoughts that disobedience is connected to that. How about, we've looked at this. This is how you help fear, proper fear, develop in a heart. God is a righteous what? Judge. I want my children to know that. I grilled them on it a few times this week. I said, guys, do you know what? The four things about God I really want you to remember. God is a righteous judge. That means he's of consequence. Sometimes we think his grace makes him of no consequence to us except good. That's not God. But God is good, and he is love. But that makes his love even more fierce sometimes, because he disciplines those he what? Loves. And so I'll tell my kids sometimes in the middle of a need for choice-changing affection, honey, I fear that you're not going to get God's good because of this attitude. I struggle with it too, guys, but we got to pray. Let's change your heart. You know, so we have those talks. God is a righteous judge, all those other glories around him. This is a good thing to meditate on in with your kids. Go on a walk, talk about it. That will help these things that we looked at earlier. A heart for the God of the Word is to hope in God as well. So we're trusting and hoping in God. When we think about trust in the Lord, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, what does it say? Trust the Lord with what? All your heart. What does that mean? You're trusting him to make you happy. Trust him with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. All disobedience is connected with a lack of trusting God, just like with fearing God. What does it say? Hebrews 11, 6. Without faith, it's what?
Possible.
So why do my children sin? They don't know God well enough, just like you. They don't fear God enough, just like you, because they don't know him enough, just like you. They don't apply it to the moment at hand, just like you. And they don't trust him. They don't have faith in him. It's impossible if they don't trust him like that at that moment. So, for those children who struggle with not having enough friends, or of you here, I give you John 6, 37. Jesus, after he loses all his people, or almost going to lose all his people, except the 12, he says to them, all that the Father gives me will come to me. He's trusting the Father to give him relationships instead of conniving those relationships or fearing or complaining or whatever it is that we do wrong in response to God. Trusting God. And then we trust God because what? The knowledge of God. He's a sovereign king. He does whatever he pleases. And because he's what? He's an all-wise creator. I tell my children regularly, honey, God is going to turn this into good if you just follow him. As bad as this is right now, let's pray about this. Let's talk to him right now. What we're doing, we're helping them have choice-changing affection for God. That's what's in the knowledge of God. And then one more, a heart for the God of the Word is to love and delight in God. I want that to grow in them. So all disobedience is connected to idolatrous loves and desires. Each one is tempted, James 1, when he's led away and enticed by his evil desires, right? So what's going to anchor them when their desires are for God? Do they see in us a love for God that we do what is right even when we don't get what we want, right? Because that's going to make them say, I'm going to love God more. He must be important. These are important thoughts, to love and delight in God. Why do we love him? 1 John 4:19, we love because what? He first loved us. How much does your children know that God loves them? And this is a glory of God we ought to glory in. He's a good father. Talk about it. So what are the four attributes of God that we want to focus on, or I encourage you? Is one is that he's a righteous what? Judge. Two is that he is a sovereign what? King. And three, that he is a wise what? Creator. He'll turn good into bad, or bad into good. And four, he's a good father. And so when we think about habit and heart change, we're thinking about putting the knowledge of God through the Spirit's work in us so that they will love, fear, and trust God. And that is what the gospel brings. That is what the gospel brings. So I end with this thought. I encourage you to look through some of the things I've given you. Hold on just a second. Let me get to this. And we'll finish with this because we're going to, hold on, right here at the end. Stay with me. There it is. And this week, develop prayerful dependence because it'll help you remember the importance of what we just said. Write a prayer for your children. Do that. Write a prayer for your children. What are their concerns? What are their gifts? What are their challenges? What are their temptations, right? Write a prayer. For Rebecca, it would have been gentle, quiet spirit. For your children, it might be different. But start with their strengths. Say, honey, I see this in you. I see God has put this in you. I'm excited about that. I'm praying in your challenge to want to have more friends, that God will bring to you all he's called you to. And he's going to use you. Pray that. Write a scripture down for that. And I pray that you will know God. Bring it back to the knowing of God. That you will trust him for that. That you will fear him alone. You know, it can be at their level, wherever they're at. So that's your homework. And then I encourage you, the second thing, and I'll end with this. We sometimes have read through with our family the picture Bible. It's like a comic Bible. You know, it's not like the big pictures. It's like a comic strip. And we've got some of those copies if you want them. But I like to read through them with my kids. They're like to be continued stories. And what you can do at the end of that is say, now, did you see God in here as a righteous judge, a sovereign king, a good father? Did you see God in this story anywhere where he was a wise creator, good out of bad? You're nourishing their knowledge of God. You're coming away from the battle and just as a little family, reading through a little comic strip of the Bible and bringing God into it. And then you're going to make applications out of that as life comes